Wow, Kevin, it's wonderful to see a packed house. Now, I don't get this opportunity very often, so please indulge me. Some of you know that we invested 15 years of our lives here and saw the church reshaped, and then God brought a new pastor. And for the last 4 years, I've sat with a heart overflowing with gratitude to God for the leadership that God has provided here. And because I don't get this opportunity very often, I wanted to publicly and personally say thank you to Kevin and Kerry for their outstanding leadership. I often feel that if I had stayed on to lead the church through this last 4 years, I would be dead by now. God knew that we needed a younger man with energy and outstanding leadership skills. And I'd just like to acknowledge that, and I'd like us to show our appreciation to Kevin and Kerry. And Helen and I just wish all of you a wonderful new year. Thank you, Kevin and Kerry, too, for opening your home last night. It was just so precious to those of us who came. Some of you were there just to relax at this time of the year. And I have to say, when I look out on all of your faces, some of you are new here, some of you have been here for years, but you, my brothers and sisters, inspire me. Keep me going. In 1993, I was taking yet another master's course at the Moody Graduate School in Chicago, and the dean of the graduate school had said to the graduating students, he made a statement that I found really hard to accept. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, unless you spend one full day in the presence of God every week, you'll be out of the ministry in a few years." And I thought to myself as he said this, I could never do that. At that time, I was the president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance of Australia, responsible for about 200 workers, pastors all over the country, their wives and children, and many missionaries around Southeast Asia. But as I had that thought, the Holy Spirit gently reminded me that it wouldn't be long before the Lord would actually be excluded completely from my life at the pace I was going. And deep down, I had to painfully accept the fact that my spiritual tank was running very, very dry. And that in actual fact, I was becoming disconnected from the very one who was the source of power for the ministry and for a fruitful life that God had called me to. So I'm going to invite you just for a few minutes this morning as we come to the end of 2019. Isn't that hard to believe? And as we face a new year, 2020, I just invite you to explore with me this idea of how could we stay connected with God. We just add there in 2020. And I want to talk a little bit too about the results that could come if we stay disconnected from God. Now, what I'd like you to do is have a really good look at this image. And I want you to answer the question, how does she feel? And I'd like you to turn to someone next to you and just have a chat about it. How do you think she feels? I know this has never happened to you, but how does she feel? Okay. Do you sort of get the feeling this is a very relevant topic? Okay, from way up in the back corner there where Ray's sitting, someone tell me, how does she feel? What did you talk about? Ignored. She feels ignored. What about this corner over here? Yeah. She's not too sure what he's doing. No, that's true. He could be doing anything. What about from over here? How does she feel? She was forced into it. What about from here? Another insight. Those two are disconnected. Absolutely. Yes. She's enjoying a nice... She's not talking to someone. She's enjoying a nice view out the window. Well, he's giving her time. Now... I don't know whether you're familiar with, you know, what happens if you snub someone. You know, I'm having this lovely conversation with Johannes and someone else walks past and I start chatting to them and I snub him. I discovered that there's a new word in our vocabulary called fubbing. Some of you have heard of that before, but if you Google fubbing, you'll be staggered how many images and how much information you'll find. I use my phone to snub someone, I fub them. Now, the bigger question for all of us this morning is this. How do you think God feels when we fub him? Just think about it for a minute. John 15:7 says, if you stay joined to me or connected to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted to you. Now, friends, that is an incredible promise about being connected to God. That's like God giving you a blank check. Kevin, it's like the girl at the NAB giving you unlimited credit. In John 14, we have, of course, the record of the first miracle that Jesus performed. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's a different one. In John 14, we have this incredible verse where Jesus said to the woman at the well, whoever drinks this water will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. So thinking back to Chicago, my question for you this morning is, at the end of 2019, do you feel that your spiritual tank is running dry? Do you ever feel like I just can't keep going in life or in ministry? I just feel I can't teach those kids in Sunday school anymore. I can't keep coming every Sunday early to be part of the worship team. I dread the idea of having to do that Bible study with the teenagers again. And we teach our children about the benefits of staying connected with God while at the same time we are slowly becoming disconnected ourselves. But here in John, Jesus gives us this incredible promise that he will provide for us not only what our hearts need, but it will be like a spring bubbling up and there'll be enough for others as well. What a promise. A fountain of water springing up. Now, I guess that you're a bit like me, that right now you're thinking, where's he taking us? I'm not sure that I can spend any extra time with God in 2020. But my challenge this morning is, when you think of these promises that we've read, a blank check, unlimited credit, a fountain of water that will satisfy us and bless others, would it be worth taking some additional time to be in his presence and receive from him? Well, a few years ago, Helen and I were with John and Fiona somewhere on a freeway in Sydney. And Fiona was sitting on the passenger side in the back seat, and Helen was sitting on the passenger side on the other side, and in the middle was a baby bassinet with a little girl called Molly, who's just now 16 and working and got L plates. And she didn't want to be in that capsule, and she was letting everyone know by yelling her little head off. And Helen, being the grandmother and also having lots of experience with babies, was doing everything she could think of to pacify this little child, and nothing was working. Until she leant over the baby and she grabbed hold of Fiona's hand, the mother's hand, and placed it on the baby. And instantly, we were all relieved. There was quietness in the car. And this baby settled down. The psalmist gives us an illustration in Psalm 131. I have stilled and quieted myself as a small child is quiet with its mother. What God is saying, when you come to me in prayer and just take the time to be in my presence, you're going to have the same peaceful sensation that that little baby has. Anyone looking for that sort of peace at the moment? A Christian philosopher once said, the more we train ourselves to spend time with God and with Him alone, we will discover that God is with us at all times and in all places. Well, having taken Dean Hopkins' exhortation to heart, I came back from Chicago in 1993, eager to give this idea of a full day in the presence of God a try. I'd never done it before. And I'll never forget the first, we were living in Canberra, this was the first time I woke up early and I was determined I was going to make it work. And immediately I woke up and I reached out to turn the radio on. Remember when we used to turn the radio on? To listen to the news. And the Holy Spirit said, no news today. Oh, okay. You're making yourself available to hear my voice today. Well, I thought I'll go into the kitchen and I'll pack some sandwiches for lunch. And as I was reaching for the loaf of bread, the Holy Spirit again said, I think today fasting would be a good idea. Oh, okay. And then I went into my office to get some supplies for the day and I thought I'll take my computer just to record all the things that God says. But you know what the Lord said, I think you better leave that home today. So I filled a bottle of water, I packed my Bible, and as I went into the garage to put them in the car, I saw my fishing rods on the end of the garage, and I thought, what a way to relax in the presence of God. But again, the Holy Spirit reminded me, you better stay single focused today. So I began in 1993 to take a full day in the presence of God. I haven't always been successful. I'll admit that to you straight away. Earlier this morning, I got out my... I'm learning more and more to use my Google diary, but I still have to have that backup paper thing. So early this morning, on the page that has the whole year, I actually put in my retreat days for the whole of 2020. And from my experience, those are sacrosanct. If someone rings and wants something on that day, I say, I'm sorry, I have an appointment. I have an appointment. I don't tell them who the appointment's with. But unless there's a death or something absolutely major, those days stay sacrosanct. And I have to say this morning that I have been encouraged by Helen more than anyone else. Because if you're in a relationship and the other person thinks you're just bumming off for the day, it's not going to work very well. But if someone understands that you need to connect with God, that your life is going to be so much more fruitful, then they will release you and encourage you to do this. So I've discovered from personal experience that the benefits of a day in the presence of God are out of this world. The Bible actually commands us to be still, doesn't it? Be still and know that I am God. And some of the other translations of that verse say, cease striving, stand through it, let go of your concerns, and you will know that I am God. So the practical reality is, if this is going to work, you and I have to schedule times to be with God. And if you've never done this before, just try 10 minutes in the morning. Read a couple of verses and pray. Maybe half an hour a week, and maybe once a month, do a half day. And then maybe every year, before, as the year comes to an end, take 2 or 3 days and go off to a retreat place somewhere. If you're married, it's a great idea to do it with your spouse and just spend time and say, Lord, speak to us. We're here to listen. So again, my question is, where are you? Where am I in our walk with God today? And thank you, David, for connecting right from the very beginning this morning. It was lovely that we've had this theme right through the service. The question is, have the demands of life, and a lot of you are married. I think we did 26 weddings, and now you've got these little, well, not so little, some of them are going to high school this year. Hey, Kitty? I know, the demands of life are horrendous. And in this day and age, this gig economy, when there's shift work and contracts and all this sort of stuff, life isn't what it used to be. Not what it used to be. So the question is, have the demands of life and even ministry here at Southside robbed you of intimacy with God? Remember what it was like when you first came to Jesus. Your heart nearly jumped out of your chest. You were so excited. Do you remember that? And slowly, what does Tozer say? Your soul leaks. And I'm not sure where you're at this morning. And maybe we're in need of a very old-fashioned word called revival. It's just two Latin words. Re means again, and vivo means life. So the question is, do you want to live again? It's not some new gift of the Holy Spirit that you need right now, necessarily. The scary thing is that we can go on using the gift that God's given us, on and on and on, and actually be disconnected from God. That's a very scary place to be. Now I'm, would you believe, about to finish. But this year I've been thinking a lot about eternity. I've read two wonderful books. One called Heaven by Randy Alcorn, and another much more theologically difficult book. And both of them have an emphasis on the new heaven and the new earth. And I've got very excited about the fact that I might even be conducting Leadership Matters courses on the new earth. That'll make you think a little bit. Will some of the things that God has given us to do on this earth continue in the life to come? That's a thought, isn't it? We're just apprentices here. Who knows what's coming ahead? A lot of my peers have gone to another address this year. Just 2 weeks ago, a 71-year-old cousin laid to rest. Lovely Christian. And for those of us who are in this season of life, it's becoming a regular thing to go to funerals. Stephen Covey, in his book, Seven Habits of Effective People, you've probably read this, but he has this incredible illustration. In your mind's eye, imagine you're going to the funeral of a loved one. You imagine yourself driving up to the chapel, you get out of the car, you walk up the steps, you open the doors of the chapel, and as you go in, the soft music hits you and you see the faces of your loved ones and your friends. There's flowers, and you walk down the aisle. It's in America probably, because the coffin is open, or it's a Hmong funeral. And you look, and to your surprise, you find it's you. You've actually come to your funeral. And you notice on the order of service, there's going to be four speakers. One from your family, one of your children, brothers, sisters, nephews. The second speaker is going to be someone from your work. The third one will be just a friend. And a fourth one will be from your church or a community organisation that you've been involved in. The opera group or whatever. Now think deeply. What would you like each of those speakers to say about you? As they reflect on your life, what achievements or contributions would you like them to be talking about? What character traits do you want them to remember? What difference did you make in their lives? I was listening to John Soper, as many of you have had. I'm going to start again for the second time on the 1st of January. I'm going to do the dig deeper this time. That's the ambition. But John was, we were in Ezekiel, and he had this incredible thing. He said, you know, you're going to get to heaven one day, and you're going to meet Ezekiel. And Ezekiel's going to say, welcome. How did my book help you stay connected with God? Uh-oh. Sorry, Ezekiel, I just didn't get around to even reading your book. Did you know that a centenarian, which my mother-in-law was, she was 106 months, lived for 36,525 days. So at the age of 40, and I look around and I think I'm spot on in an average age in this room, at the age of 40, you've got 22,000 days left. Don't waste them. I haven't been game to figure out how many I've got left, even if I live to 100. Listen, it's time to read, to talk, to socialise like we did last night, and to meet with God every day, every month, every year. We sure live in challenging times. I mean, this has just been an incredible year when you look at the whole world. It's not easy to be a Christian in Australia in 2019. Just ask Israel Folau. Whether you think he was wise or not in what he did, it has opened up incredible issues to do with religious freedom. And we should be praying for our Prime Minister and those who are going to try and get this bill through in the coming year. I don't know how they're going to do it. The issue is, I can't control my life. I can't control what's thrown at me. But with God's help, I can control my responses. And I can only do that if I stay connected to Him in 2020. And how you respond to the things that are thrown at you this year will be directly related to how closely you're connected to Him. How much time you've spent with Him. Again, He's offering you a blank check. He's offering all of us unlimited credit. He's offering us a spring of water that will bubble up and satisfy us and satisfy others. So this is my question. Oh, there we are at the funeral. Just pop your name there. But as we close, I want you to think about this. What will you stop doing, start doing, or do differently as a result of what God has said to you this morning? Could we take 60 seconds just to bow our heads, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Let's just do that for a moment. Okay, now what I'm going to invite you to do for 2 or 3 minutes is to turn to someone else, just in pairs, and share, if you feel free to. If you don't, that's fine. And even if you don't feel free to talk to anyone, that's fine. But I encourage you to find someone else, share with them what you think God said to you this morning. Very briefly, don't go on and on, just very briefly, each person, and then pray for each other. Could we finish the service that way? And then, David, if there is a closing song, maybe in 3 or 4 minutes' time, you just come up and start leading. But go for it, folks. Let's encourage each other and pray for each other as we face 2020.